From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Kearns with you once again, and I trust that you'll stay with us as we continue the messages on themes in Titus, looking once more at Titus chapter 1 verse 2 on the subject of the hope of eternal life. First, however, for our daily devotional Bible study, we turn to Numbers chapter 6 and verse 8, and the subject of that verse is separation unto God. Numbers 6 verse 8 says, "All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord." The book of Numbers treats the subject of resignation to the Lord's will, something that involves, of course, abandonment of self-will. There are many examples in Numbers of those who made shipwreck because they would not renounce the carnal will. To instill this spirit of consecration into the Israelites, the Lord revealed the law of the Nazarite. The title Nazarite means separated, and every aspect of the vow of the Nazarite is designed to teach that the believer is to be a separated person. Like the Nazarite, while he lives among people, he is not to be like them. In the world, but not of the world, is a principle that never changes. The Nazarite's consecration demanded that the Lord have first place in his life. When a loved one died, he was not to touch the body, lest he make himself unclean, for the consecration of his God was upon his head, as verse 7 teaches. Christ himself shows the meaning of this in Luke 14:26, where he teaches that the believer must love him more than the dearest on earth. Even the savor of death was not to be upon the Nazarite. If he suddenly and unavoidably touched the dead, he had to be cleansed. The believer is to be one in whom the life of God is seen. There should be nothing of the stench of the world about us, but rather the fragrance of the risen Christ. The Nazarite's vow of separation governed his diet and his appearance. He was not permitted to consume anything pertaining to the vine or to shave his head. Surely there's a hint here of abstaining from fleshly appetites as well as of showing Christ by our outward behavior and appearance. Let us constantly put on the Lord Jesus and, as Romans 13:14 says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, but through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body. As Christ was, so may we be, separate from sinners. Our thought for the day: for all the world, forsake not Christ, but all the world forsake for Christ.
Oh,
Here at Let the Bible Speak, we try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church, is a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas's report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas's exposé of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches. Yesterday, as we studied the subject of the hope of eternal life from Titus 1 verse 2, we thought a little of the expectation of the believer's hope. We saw that it is a hope of deliverance from the fear of death and a hope of being with Christ after death. And that's where we're going to pick up today's message. So let's hear the word of the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, and this is something that we know, this is something that we're assured of, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To see the King in His beauty. To behold Him face to face. We have often sung it, "Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky." What a day that will be, my friend. That is the confidence that we have in the hope of eternal life. But it goes beyond that. Those who are now with Christ are in what theologians call the intermediate state. It's a big name for that state where the soul is with Christ, but the body is in the ground. But you know, when Christ died, He died to redeem not just our souls, but our bodies. It's a whole man that Christ redeems. This notion of a soul that's saved and a body that's left in corruption is far from the gospel. And the day is coming when body and soul will be reunited. I don't know how the Lord is going to do that. That is a miracle of such immense proportions as to boggle every human mind. Some souls have gone to be with Christ 1,000 years ago. Some 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Their bodies have long since gone into dust. They have fertilized the ground. They have helped to grow grass. That grass has been eaten by other bodies that have since died. And you can multiply it forever. Some have been buried at sea, eaten by fish. I don't want to be crude. I'm simply saying to you, the miracle of this is so incomprehensibly great. But why would it stumble me to believe in God doing that? When He created all things out of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. When I look at this vast, vast creation, and according to astronomers, we don't even begin to know how vast. And I realize that He governs it all in His wisdom. And as the psalmist tells us, He calls the stars by their names. He numbers them and He knows them. As well as knowing every hair on the head of every individual who's ever lived. Let me tell you, when Jesus said, "Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without Him," He meant exactly what He said. He meant exactly what He said. He's going to raise bodies from the dead and reunite them with their souls. And the hope of eternal life is to have a part in the first resurrection. Revelation 20 speaks of a first resurrection, implying a second resurrection. A resurrection unto life, a resurrection unto damnation. A resurrection to glory, a resurrection to gloom. And eternal suffering. Now says Paul to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." That's the hope. When Jesus comes, He goes on to say that the dead in Christ will rise first. What a day that's going to be. When the graves give forth the dead that are in them. When the sea gives forth the dead that are in it. When from every part of this great creation, God raises that mighty army. What a day it will be. But best of all,
will be to have a part in that resurrection. That's the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life is, to use Peter's words in 2 Peter 1:11, to have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." 2 Timothy 4:18, one of the very last things that Paul ever penned before he went to the executioner's block. "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." That's the hope of eternal life. We are going to face many a dark day. Remember, Paul was within a heartbeat or two of laying his head upon the block and having it chopped off. He knew that was coming, but he said, "He'll deliver me from every evil work." The devil means this for evil. The Lord will turn it for good. My body may be put to death, but he will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. That is the hope of eternal life. We were singing that hymn tonight, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" If you're saved by the grace of God, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God by faith, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, then no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what life brings your way, no matter what trial and trouble may press upon you, he will preserve you unto his heavenly kingdom. In a word, the hope of eternal life is what Romans 8 calls the adoption, the redemption of the body. And in a wonderful phrase that I can't even begin to touch tonight, otherwise we'll have a very long meeting, the manifestation of the sons of God. The full revelation, first of all, of who are the sons of God. Now that is an awesome thought. I'm sure you've heard the outline of the old time preacher when he was preaching on heaven. When he said, first point, I'm going to be surprised at who's there. Second point, I'm going to be surprised at who's not there. Third point, I'm going to be mighty glad that I'm there. The manifestation of the sons of God, when God draws the veil away and we're now beyond the realm of mere human profession, we're beyond the realm of church books and church membership lists, and we're looking at absolute reality from the eyes of God, and he manifests to heaven, earth, and hell those who are the sons of God. Let me ask you, man, will you be there? There is no fear. There is no loss of hope. For the man whose trust is in Christ, whose hope is in the Lord, yes, he'll be manifested as a child of God. But the manifestation of the sons of God is not only manifesting definitely, definitively, finally who they are, but it's manifesting all that it means to be among them. Free from sin. Free from failure. Free from all the trammels of the flesh. Free from all the lusts of the flesh. Free from all the failures of the flesh. Free from everything that would drag us down. Free to soar to the heights of celestial glory. Free to enter in to all the joys that God has made and provided for us. Free to be able to enjoy Christ to the fullest degree. Oh, let me tell you, that's the hope of eternal life. The glory of God in fellowship with Christ, filling and flooding our souls, bodies made like unto His body, bodies free from all the pollution and weakness of sin, hearts and minds and souls completely sanctified and absolutely 100% given to the enjoyment and the service of Christ. The manifestation of the sons of God. That's the expectation. That's what we're looking for. That's the focus of the hope. And that's what the Lord wants you to keep before you. The devil wants you to get locked into the moment. The devil wants you to think of here and now. Take Job, for example. In his suffering, he got his eyes off the Lord. And it's very difficult for me to blame him, because I have to say Job did a whole lot better than I would do, or than anybody else I know would do. I can understand why the Lord boasted of him. A mass of boils and other sores. A mass of pain and agony. But not only agony of body, agony of mind. Every time he would finally drift off in exhaustion to sleep, all the demons of hell were tormenting him. And he said, he lamented this, that even in his sleep and in his dreams, he was mentally plagued. There was no rest by day, there was no rest by night. So I'm not going to be too hard on Job for lamenting his awful position. And then that bunch of idiots came along to comfort him. So many people who would far better keep their mouths shut. But they didn't. And they made matters so much worse. But even in that awful time, there were moments when Job could catch a glimpse of eternal truth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he shall stand upon the earth at the latter day. I know that in my flesh I shall see God. What a hope that was. See, that's the focus. Get your mind and your heart on what God has promised. Fill your soul with what Christ has purchased. Understand the terms of the covenant into which God has entered with you. Face the circumstances of today in the light of the hope of eternal life, rather than letting the circumstances of the moment becloud your vision and determine how you look upon the things of God. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at
letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.